If I could put a title to the message this morning, I would call it The Woman with a Grudge. And that woman, of course, was Martha. She had a grudge against her sister Mary. The text for this morning is that verse 40. But Martha was not serving. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. In this passage of Scripture before us, read today, we're introduced to two sisters, Martha and Mary. And they had, of course, a brother called. The trio lived in a place called Bethany, located about 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. It was a place where the Savior visited on a number of occasions. Of course, it was always a welcome for him in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, when you look at Mary and Martha, there does not appear to be any likeness in these two sisters at all. Indeed, they were both very different, the one from the other. Undoubtedly had different personalities and demonstrated different characteristics. They both loved the Lord. We can say that about them. They both loved the Lord and the Lord loved them and their brother Lazarus. But while Martha was a woman of action, Mary, on the other hand, was a woman of quiet contemplation. And those characteristics are very much to the fore in this incident that we have before us. Indeed, Martha was disappointed that her sister was not more than into their home. I'll say that Mary indeed had been active. She had been helping Martha in serving, but then she left Martha to go and sit at the Savior's feet and to listen to his word. This did not please Martha at all, that she was left to serve alone. Now we must say there are not too many who like to serve alone. We like to have help. Here was Martha, she was left to serve alone, and this disturbed her and disappointed her until she developed a grudge against her sister, saying to the Lord, "Dost thou not care?" Can you imagine saying that to the Savior? "Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Her, she helped me." The word "left" there means to abandon. And so Martha felt abandoned by her sister Mary. She took umbrage at her sister for leaving her to serve in the home alone. We see here how quickly a complaining spirit can in the heart. The child had Mary left, and she becomes somewhat bitter against her sister. We have the picture of a woman who was very zealous for the Lord, but then went and spoiled it all by this grudge against her sister. The Apostle James has warned us about these things. In James 5 and verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. The door. Well, in this case, the judge wasn't standing before the door. The judge had come in through the door. And there he was in the home of Mary and Martha. And James says, grudge not one against another. Which was exactly what Martha did. But the Lord there in their home. That word grudge in James 5 and 9 means to groan or to sigh. And so you get the picture. There's Martha and she's been left to serve alone. And you can almost hear her groaning and complaining and sighing to herself. I've been left alone. My sister is left. And she sighs and she groans. And then in Peter's first epistle, he speaks upon the same subject saying, use hospitality one to another without grudging. My, those words could be directed to Martha. Use hospitality. She most was hospitable. She entertained the Lord Jesus, but Paul or Peter says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That word that Peter uses is a word that means murmuring. Use hospitality one to another without murmuring. That's what Martha was doing. She was murmuring against her sister. Martha was being very hospitable, but really gained no benefit or blessing from being hospitable or from serving the Lord. This is the sad part. Martha gained no spiritual blessing from serving the Lord that day when the Savior was in her home because she was groaning and sighing and murmuring. How a good deed can become burdensome if not carried out in the right spirit. Unfortunately, Martha was not carrying out her good deeds in the right spirit. She had this grudge then against her sister. This murmuring was carried on against Mary in the very presence of the Savior. How then did the Master deal with this situation? How did the Lord deal with this murmuring, this complaining spirit that had suddenly appeared in the heart and indeed the behavior of Martha? Well, we must look, as it were, background to the whole situation. And we notice, first of all, Martha's welcome to the Master. We read there in verse 38, and it came to pass as they went, that is the Lord and his disciples, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now there was Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but we're specific that it was Martha who received him into their house or into their house. One of the commendable things to be said about Martha is that she welcomed the Lord into her home. And when you think of this welcome, you think of the privilege that is attached with this to this welcome. The privilege that Martha had and enjoyed of receiving the Lord Jesus into her home. This was Martha. That's what it says. Martha received him into her house. So it's evident that Martha was the lady of the house, which is interesting, because Martha's name means lady. And Martha was the lady of the house and played the part of the lady, giving such a warm welcome to the Savior into her home. She evidently regarded it as a great privilege to have the Savior, the stranger of Galilee, in her own house, having such a distinguished guest in her home was a great privilege. You know what it's like when heads of state visit certain countries. They'll time out from business and maybe go and into some town or down some street and visit some, we might say, some common person. And the cameras are there, and the reporters are there, and the news media is there, and beams the pictures all over the world. So-and-so visited this man and woman's home. Well, the Lord Jesus visited the home of Martha, but it was no publicity stunt. No one there to witness what the Lord had done in entering into the house of Martha apart from the sisters and his disciples. No, this was no publicity stunt. This was Martha enjoying the blessing of having Christ in her home and the privilege of welcoming the King of Kings into her home. This would be good to have a prime minister or a president or royalty visit your home, but Martha had Christ the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in her home. Something else we should note, that Christ being the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus was willing to enter in to the house of a common person. The Lord Jesus was pleased to enter the home of someone like Martha and Mary. See, that tells me the Lord will come into any home where he's welcome. Yea, the Lord will come into any heart where he is welcome. I like those words where it says, and the woman named Martha received him. It's always good to learn and to hear about people receiving Christ. Receive Christ? Have you received him into your heart? Is the Lord Jesus in your home today? As he was in the home of Martha. We're told in John 11 and verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so the Savior loved this family and was loved by them and knew that he was always welcome there. You know, there are homes in this town today where Christ would not be welcome. There are families in this town today and they would have no time for the Lord Jesus. They would not have Christ in their home. They would not have Christ in their heart. They would not have the privilege to have the King of Kings visit their home. He's simply not wanted there. Is he wanted in your home? Has he a place not only in your home, has he a place in your heart? Notice also that it was not only a privilege, this welcome, but as a personal welcome. Once again, we look at the words, Martha received him into her house. So Martha, it would appear, was the one who issued the invitation and gave Christ the welcome. Martha received him. That word received is used elsewhere to describe another person who received the Lord Jesus into his house. Look over in chapter 19 of Luke. The same word is used. Luke 19 and verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the next verse says, and he made haste and came down and received joy. It's the same word that is used to describe how Martha received the Lord. The word itself means to receive under one's roof. And so just as Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus into his house and did so joyfully, so Martha received Christ into her house and received him joyfully. Welcomed him, received him under her roof. Like the Emmaus disciples. Remember the two Emmaus disciples leaving Jerusalem, going to their home. They were cast down and sad because, as far as they were concerned, the Lord Jesus had not risen from the dead. And it was the third day. And then a stranger drew near and went with them. Of course, we know that stranger turned out to be the stranger of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he opened the scriptures to them and expounded the word to them, guarding those things concerning himself. And when they got to their house, he made as though he would have gone on. But they compelled him. They compelled him to abide with them, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now, I want you to notice something. Here the Emmaus disciples invited Christ, welcomed him into their home. He was the guest. But no sooner had the Lord Jesus entered the home of these two Emmaus disciples that he becomes the head of the house. Because we're told that upon being welcomed home and sitting down at the table with the disciples, we read that the bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. You'd have thought it should have been the other way round. They should have taken the bread and blessed it and gave to him. After all, he was their guest. But what does this teach us? It teaches us that whenever the Lord Jesus came into that home there in Emmaus, the disciples immediately made Christ the head of the house. It was almost as if they were the guests. Because the Lord ministered to them. And that's how Martha received the Lord, brought under her roof, so that her house became his house. You know, that's the way it should be. If the Lord has entered your heart, if the Lord has entered your house, then he is to be the head of the house. He is the one upon whom all attention is focus upon him, so that our homes become his home. Our houses become his house. Notice something else. It was a purposeful welcome. There was a purpose behind this welcome given to the Lord. Our This is very evident, for we are told that this woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much service. And so she kind of decided to have the Lord Jesus in her home. And she wasted no time in entertaining the Lord. She begins to serve. Paul says in Hebrews 13 and verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So when you entertain an individual, you never know who you're entertaining. Martha entertained a person who was no stranger to her, but certainly was an angel. Because that day, Martha, the angel, Martha entertained the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we certainly cannot condemn Martha for wanting to entertain the Master and do something for him. It was her purpose. She wanted to do something for the Lord while he was in her home. Unlike another person who brought into his house. You go back to Luke again to chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, in verse 36, "And one of the he would eat with him, and he went in to meet." We know the story. We considered this particular woman in our series, and how this woman came in and was so full of love for Jesus Christ, she stood at his feet behind him, weeping and washing his feet with her tears. But then you go on down, and we read in verse 44, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." Verse 45, "Thou gavest me no kiss." Verse 46, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint." In other words, the Pharisee had invited Christ into his house. And the Lord Jesus sat down at meat, but nothing was served. And here we find that the Lord Jesus upbraids the Simon the Pharisee, and "Thou gavest me no water. Thou gavest me no kiss. Thou didst not anoint my head with oil." In other words, Simon, you did nothing. And the other woman, or the woman in the house, did everything. That could not be said about Martha. That the Savior, when he entered the house of Simon the Pharisee, he entered a house where he was not loved there. And he was not served there, and he was not entertained there. Martha expressed her love for her Savior by what she did for him. It is therefore, this is the sad part about Martha and the incident. It is therefore sad that what began as an expression of love turned into a complaint and a grudge against her own sister. And it is indeed sad if what we do for the Lord gives us no joy. If we want to do something for the Lord, Solomon tells us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with joy in your heart. Just be glad that you're serving the King. But here's Martha, and everything stopped so well. Her welcome. Her desire to serve Christ. But then when she was left to serve alone, started to complain. Bitter spirit grew up in her heart. Took umbrage against her sister. And the joy of serving the Lord Jesus evaporated. She had no joy serving Christ. She complained about Jesus. So we have considered Martha's welcome for the Master. Now let us look at Martha's work for the Master. While the Master was in the house, Martha's time was taken up with work. While the Master was in the house, Mary's time was taken up with worship. The difference in the two sisters. Remember we said that Martha was all action. But you look at Mary and you see her sitting Christ, when you look at Mary, as we will be doing in the next few weeks, every time you meet with Mary, she's always at the feet of Christ. Always. A woman of quiet contemplation. Now you look at Martha's work for the Master and you consider, first of all, her industry. We are told Martha was concerned about thing. It's 40. That word cumbered. The word means to draw from around or to be distracted. And so we read about Martha that she was distracted about much serving. Even though her Savior was in her house, her focus was not on Him. That's the point. Her focus was not on Christ. There's the Savior in her home, and we find that Martha's attention was, in the meaning of the word, drawn around. She had this to attend to, and that to attend to, and this to do, and that to do. As we would say, her head was turned. And it was turned in so many different directions. She had so much to do. Her focus should have been on Christ, but it wasn't. Her industry had overtaken her life, her thoughts, her heart, her mind, her thinking. Her attention was taken away from the Savior, distracted because she had this to do and that to do, other things to do. She felt that she had to give much time to much serving. She had no time to give to Christ. That's what the Lord was speaking about here and spoke to her about when she came to Him complaining. She had no time for him. All of her industry had drawn her away from the Master. That was the terrible mistake. That was the tragedy. She had so much to do. I remember when I entered the theological hall, one of our professors spoke to us the first day or so we were there. And he said, you know, Bible college is the easiest place to backslide. I thought to myself, that's a strange statement. Because I remember when I was working in the engineering factory thinking, it'll be great whenever I get into the theological hall and not face the same temptations. I'll be away from the world. I'll be with God's servants. I'll be studying the Bible every day. It'll be great. And then this professor said, Bible college is a place where you can easily backslide. It was after a few months I realized the truth of those words. Why? Because you have so much to do. Homework to do, things to learn, church to look after, people to visit. So much to do, and it can crowd out your time with the Lord. You can become distracted with all the things that needs to be done. And that's what happened to Martha. Her attention was drawn around everything she could see that needed to be done. And she forgot about the Lord. What a tragedy. What a terrible mistake. She was cumbered, distracted with much serving. All of her industry had drawn her away from the Lord. I will not say that this is the age of work. Even though when you follow the 401 early in the morning, the hundreds and the thousands of cars going up and down the 401 and the trucks, men and women going to their places of employment. Well, I believe as much work was done 100 years ago. People worked. But this is the age of hurry. This is the age of hustle and bustle. It is the age when many are swept off their feet by a congestion of occupations and engagements with so much to do, with so many places to go to, with so much business to attend to. We're like the... Remember that day the Lord said to the disciples, "Come ye apart and rest a while." Why did he say that? We are told, for they had no leisure or opportunity so much as to eat. There's so much to do, attending to the needs of the multitudes. And the Lord said, you need to come apart. And where did he bring them to? He brought them, we're told, into a desert place. And there, the disciples gathered around the feet of Christ. And he ministered to them. That was the remedy. That's what Mary did. She had been helping Martha. She had been serving, yes. But she knew she couldn't give all her time to serving. She had to spend time at the feet of Christ. Unfortunately, Martha missed out there. She was so taken up with serving, cumbered, distracted with much serving. Believer, dear Christian, let us not be so industrious, so busy, so caught up with engagements and things to do that we don't give I'm to sit at Jesus' feet. It was this failure in Martha, and this is the point we should mark. It was this failure in the part of Martha that caused this complaining spirit. It was the failure of Martha in not going to the feet of Jesus that brought about this complaining spirit, that developed this grudge against her sister. Had she gone with Mary and sat at the Savior's feet, none of this would have happened. She wouldn't have complained about Mary. She wouldn't have held this grudge against her sister. You see, believer, proper time spent and given to Jesus Christ would have prevented it all. Now apply that to our own lives. You know what it's like. You have so much to do. You get so irritable. You begin to complain of this to do, of that to do. Why not spend time at the Savior's feet? You'll get the work done eventually. And you'll be in a better spirit. You'll be in a better frame of mind. And you'll do it joyfully. It's on to the Lord. Martha missed. That was the fault. The industry of Martha. And then you have the interest of Martha. Martha appeared to have had only one interest that day, and that was what she was doing. That was her interest, what she was doing. We've already seen that she did not have the proper spiritual interest in Christ. She did not go and sit at the Savior's feet with her sister. She was only interested in what she was doing. Martha was wrapped up in what she was doing, but it took away her interest in the Lord. It took away her interest in hearing His words. See how easy it can happen? See how easily something like this can take place. Her labors took the place of her Lord. Oh, Martha. No wonder the Savior said, Martha, Martha. It's almost as if He was saying, Martha, Martha, settle down. Her service had taken the place of her Savior. And what she was making that day took the place of her Master. So much so that she had no interest in sitting with Him. No interest in speaking to Him. No interest in being still before Him. No interest in studying Him. Can you imagine what it would be like to, as Martha did, person in the house? I imagine that would have been a most wonderful experience. From the moment Christ would come into the house, your eyes surely were fixed on Him. You were studying Him. Looking at His every feature. Watching His every move. We've often quoted the words of Samuel Rutherford. Rutherford said that when he looked to Christ, he felt he could look His eyes off. He could look His eyes because he couldn't look His eyes off. He hadn't time for that. She hadn't time to study the Master. She had too much to do. But Martha was cumbered serving, O believer. In this day of engagements, it is so easy to be a Martha and so difficult to be a Mary. No time to meditate on His law, day or night. No time to be still and know that He is God. No time to come apart and rest a while there at His feet. No time to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. No time to consider Him. No time to commune with thine heart and be still. Psalm 4, verse 4. No time for Christ. No time for Christ. Did none of these things. Martha did none of these things. Martha did not meditate on the law as the Lord was giving it to Mary that day. Martha was not still. Martha did not come apart. Martha did not consider Him. Martha did not commune with her heart about Him. She did none of those things. She became irritable and complained. So developed a grudge against Mary. We need to be careful. Need to be careful that doesn't happen to us. Need to be careful that we're not a Martha. Let us strive by God's grace to be more like a Mary in this respect. And finally this morning, look at the ignorance of Martha. We're told Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha was cumbered about much serving, but this is the part. She didn't realize it. She didn't know. She was ignorant of the fact that too much of her time had been taken up with serving, and not enough of her time had been taken up with the Savior. She didn't know. Oh, she came to the Lord, all right. But she came in a very different attitude to her sister. Mary had come to the Lord and she had sat down at His feet to hear His word. But when Martha came to the Lord, it was to complain. And Martha was of the fact that she was cumbered of serving. She didn't know it. And so the Lord said to her in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things. You notice something there. We're told in verse 40, yes, but Martha was cumbered about much, and then she complained, my sister has left me. But when you look at the Lord's commentary, as it were, upon what Martha was doing, the Lord doesn't even mention service. Instead, the Lord says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The Savior didn't mention her service. What this teaches us, that no matter what we do, if we leave Christ out of it, then it'll never be regarded as service for the Lord. If what we do with a complaint, and do it with a complaining spirit, and do it grudgingly, the Lord will not accept it as service. Tell us the same things. You're careful and troubled about things. So it was with Martha. Was no. Does this not remind us of the words of the Savior to the church at Ephesus, the believer? In Revelation 2, in verse 2, the Lord said, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hath borne and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And the thing is this, the believers in the church at Ephesus didn't even know it. The Lord had to tell them. Everything on the outside looked well. Patience. Couldn't abide those who taught false doctrine. Couldn't abide. Everything looked so good. But the Savior said, you've left your faith. Martha, you're come about much serving. But Martha, you've left me. You've left me. Martha hadn't noticed how she had neglected the Savior. And neglected to spend time with the Savior. She hadn't even noticed it. And you know what it's like. You know. Caught up in the things of the day. So many things to do. Before you know it, the day is gone. And you haven't spent time with the Lord. You don't even remember that you haven't spent time with the Lord. 2 or 3 days later, it suddenly comes to you perhaps. I haven't prayed today. I didn't pray yesterday. I didn't read my Bible yesterday. I didn't study the Word yesterday. The day before or the day before. How we need the Lord to minister to us. How easily it is for us to be taken up with things that in and of themselves are legitimate. But they're not expedient. In and of themselves, they're good. But if they leave out Christ, it's not good. Martha had left out Christ. And because she had left out Christ, she had a grudge against her sister. Because she had left out Christ, she had a complaining spirit. If we have a grudge against anyone, if we go about day by day with a complaining spirit, we should stop and ask ourselves, what's my relationship with Jesus Christ? When was the last time I sat at His feet? When was the last time I communed with Him? When was the last time I came to His Word? Had Martha done that, she would not have complained. And she would not have had a grudge against Mary. There's many more things to say about Martha. We'll deal with that in the will of the Lord next week. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O Lord and gracious Father, we bless Thee for the word. Lord, these things Thou hast told us are for our learning. Lord, I pray. Lord, Thy love, Thy mercy, Thy word, all Thy attributes are as oceans, Lord, the depths of which cannot be fathomed. Realize, Lord, that we're only standing at the seashore. And yet, Lord, there are waters there deep enough for us to swim in. Have us, Lord, to launch out into the deep. Get deep down into God's Word. And, oh, Lord, I pray that Martha's behavior and busyness will be a word in season for us all. In this day, Lord, of hustle and bustle, Lord, we need Thee. We need to sit at Thy feet. We need to commune with Thee for a time each day.